This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, away we go on the post-game podcast for you on this Tuesday. Before we're done, I do have an interesting video I saw I'd like you to take on. Oh. Al, how are you?
Okay, I'm doing pretty good, Jerry. I have a New York Times article I'd like to discuss with you, and then I have a solution for me to fix satellite radio.
Oh, that's interesting.
If satellite radio people want okay. to listen.
I know Eric Spitz.
Okay. They're kind of tied together in a way.
All right.
It was this New York Times article, Jerry, that was talking about those of us in Generation X.
Which is us.
You and I fall into that.
Yeah.
Now, I did Google this. Generation X is people born in 1965.
Right.
All the way up to 1980. Which is weird because you would think somebody born in 65 and somebody born in 1980.
Not quite the same generation.
Yeah, it doesn't seem the same to me, but... This article basically was just talking about, and when they said Gen X, they were mainly focused in this article on people, it appeared to be people in their 50s.
Okay.
In how all of the creative jobs that we wanted when we were in college and that we were lucky enough to get in all sorts of things, that they actually didn't specifically talk about radio, but they talked about like magazine writers, newspaper writers, photographers, video editors, any of these sorts of things, that how now as people are in their 50s, those jobs are really changing.
And disappearing in some
and
cases.
And disappearing due to the technology as it's coming about. And it is interesting because those, like when you make those decisions for those careers, all you have to go by is where they are when you're
at the moment.
At the moment, when you're interested in going to school, right? You would never think any of that stuff would go. But I kind of feel like all jobs can fall into that now. Like, not just the creative jobs.
I don't think there is a safe job.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. I mean, you could even say 10 years ago, I'm going to be a garbage guy. You know, I'm going to run behind the truck. Well, now they have robo bins. Now all you need to do is drive the truck. Like, they have minimized those jobs.
Yeah.
You can say, I don't know, pick another one. I mean, you always have the need for police, obviously.
Robocops, Jerry.
Yeah, we're not there yet, but you are right. I mean, at some point in the future, they could have some of that technology take over for humans. So that is possible for sure. That is true. It's a good point. Accountants, I mean, there's always a need for an accountant, but there's so much good software out there now. I would think an accountant has seen their workload go down a little bit. I don't know that there's a safe job anymore unless you own your own business and make your own money.
And even that, it would have to be, I'm sure there are people who owned their own businesses whose businesses have disappeared due to technology.
Oh, for
too,
sure.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, no business. Yeah, that was a poor way of saying that. No business is safe from going out of business. There's no question about it. I just mean in terms of, if business isn't good, you'll see it coming, I suppose, as opposed to walking into your job one day, you know, skipping and whistling and all of a sudden, like, we see you, you're fired. Wait, what? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Can happen to any of us.
Yes. Gina often talks about how, like, I am, and you will know this, I'm not a, someone who takes risks.
Right? I am aware of this.
I'm risk averse. Mm-hmm. I try to lay.
Yep.
So she goes, you chose a really strange career.
A risky career.
You chose a risky career.
Yeah.
And I was trying, I was thinking back to when I was in high school and just starting college. And at the time, to me, first of all, I'm sure I was a different person. And maybe I did take more risks. But I always just thought, like, why not take a shot at it? Because you got to work till you're like 65.
You can always get a job.
You can always get a regular job.
Correct.
Because like my father, I guess I wasn't like really moving along with what with a game plan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my father came home one day. My dad worked at Delta in Newark Airport. And he came home one day with a an application for U.S. Air.
Yeah, I remember you telling me this.
He goes, you fill this out? I go, he goes, you're not doing really, you have no game plan.
Right.
But then when I just thought like, well, let me try the radio thing and I'll give it 5 years. I'll go work at US Air or wherever.
There will always be jobs there.
Yeah.
You would think.
Harder to make a risky move when you're mid-career for people.
Well, yeah. Easier for you, harder for me. I mean, harder for someone that's got the family that has to. You know, I actually think often, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but I sometimes wonder when I look at guys like you and Eddie, like what my career would have been, how different it would have been if I never had children. Because there have been jobs that I simply haven't applied for because we're not moving out of the area.
Right.
There have been chances I haven't taken because I have to worry about paying for tuition and then college tuition. I can't take if I get fired, you get fired. There's nothing you can do about it. But I'm not willingly going to take a pay cut, even if it's to take a step back to take two forward later when you've got bills to pay and, like I say, kids to feed. It's a little different. I do wonder how different life would have turned out professionally.
Yeah.
Had, you know, we not had children.
Yeah, this article in the New York Times was really detailing people who were like in their 50s who lost their jobs.
Sure.
And then what they are doing to pivot.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, so many of the people in the article too, there is a 1-2 punch that is very difficult to survive, and that is the losing your job midlife and the divorce.
Yeah,
when those things come together, there were a couple people profiled in this. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is a quick 1-2 because that can happen quickly, right?
Oh yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, very quickly.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you've got nothing like financially.
Right.
Not easy.
Yeah, not easy.
Not easy.
So it was a very eye-opening article.
Once you get married, life gets a little more complicated. Once you have a family, it gets very complicated in terms of dealing with things of that nature.
Yeah.
And you're tied up financially really the rest of your life for the most part.
Right.
To someone or some group of people.
Right.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's hard. And you're seeing, especially in this business, you see more and more people get laid off all over the place. We've been lucky so far, but I don't know that we're going to be lucky for another 10 years. I have no idea if we're going to be lucky for another year. It's eye-opening, which is why, and I know Eddie has some fun with, you know, always trying to come up with business ideas and stuff. As you know, I don't act on any of them aside from a couple I've tried, but it's never been about getting rich. It's always about having something in my back pocket when that pink slip comes, because it will come. I'm not stupid. I know that. At some point, I'm going to get fired and let go. Try and figure out and have a game plan. Have right. that backup plan.
Right.
You know, to this day, I still think about it.
Yeah. And then I also think what you mentioned, backup plan, because I hear this a lot with younger people who are in college that want to try a career that's risky.
Yeah.
And the parents often will say, have a backup plan.
I didn't.
Yeah. So I've heard from people with these who are successful at these jobs, these interesting jobs, they say not to have a backup plan. Yeah. Because when you have a backup plan, that's always in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
When you have no choice.
If it doesn't work, I'll just go do that.
Yeah. When you have no choice but to succeed in your planned career, you're probably going to hang in there longer maybe and try a little more than you would have if you had a real backup. Like if you had like your dad owned the business, right? And you said, I'm going to try radio or to be an actor.
You kind of half-ass it.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work out, I'm going to be I'll go work for my dad's company.
Well, I think, so there's two different backup plans. There's the backup plan, that's a fallback to me. Knowing that dad's there with his company.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to give this a try, and if it doesn't, ah. The backup plan that I meant was, and I didn't have a dual major. I didn't really study anything else in college that would have helped me go get a job to make significant money. When I say backup plan and I didn't have that, I always knew I could get a job. Like I could go do labor. I mean, I could go work. That's survival though to me, you know, where you're making just enough money to pay rent and maybe pay for some food along the way. And you hope your wife or girlfriend is making money to kind of help out, you know, if you're close like that. I have told you many times, I was very close to working for Eddie's father, who could not have been a nicer guy, brought me in. I applied. It was actually a really good job. I don't think I was ever going to get rich there, but it was a good job that paid pretty well. It wasn't far from home, had great benefits. And if something didn't open when it did here, like I was working for Mr. Scuzzeri, and I was excited to do it, believe it or not. And I was kind of ready to turn. I wasn't going to completely get away from radio. I mean, even when we were walking around the facility, I remember telling him that I'm still going to do some part-time stuff on the weekends, which he was fine with. So I wasn't going to give up on it. I did go to college for it. But in my mind, that was going to be my profession. Radio was going to be extra money. And things worked out. Yeah. And the other part about I find interesting is it's kind of like this notion of if you put your mind to it, you can do anything, which is a load of bullcrap. For the ones it works out for, yes, that is very true. I'm sure Donald Trump at some point in his life said he's going to be president. It worked out for him. You know how many thousands of people said they want to be president of the United States? None of them ever get there as much as their mind is focused on being the president. The idea of when your back is against the wall, you work harder and you're not going to take no for an answer. Maybe. I was unemployed for 6 months. I couldn't find a job, and it wasn't for lack of effort. I got lucky. I was that close to walking away. It wasn't my drive. My drive died after applying for job after job after job. I got lucky, you know, coming back here full time when I was only working one day a week. So, yeah, again, those are successful people that say that, but I'm sure I can find you thousands of examples of people that had their back against the wall and either went homeless or went working at a retail store.
Right.
Just to make a paycheck.
Yeah. The other weird thing, though, about reading this article in the Times, and it made it seem like, you know, technology is here to take all of our jobs, right? And it was kind of a dismal read.
I can imagine.
And yet, if I were to, like, reading things on Twitter or X, reading things in the New York Times, the New York Post, and then what I see in my real daily life seem to be two different things. Because Disney seems to be jam-packed with people.
Yeah.
Restaurants are jam-packed with people. As much as we talk about, you want to go see the Eagles in Las Vegas, that's $1,000 a ticket.
And you can't get a ticket.
Can't get a ticket.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's happening. You know, you see all these things about people losing jobs and technology taking people's jobs, and yet people spending money seems to be still,
still
rolling along.
Yeah, we're humming along for sure. Yeah, I know, and yet I know a lot of people that have been laid off.
Yeah,
What I don't know is how big the severance packages are, and then what are they doing to supplement the money? But you are right. Like we were taking out Kim's mom for dinner on Saturday. We had the idea like she was with us for the week, and she was going to go home Friday. I'm like, why don't you stay till Sunday? We'll take her out for dinner Saturday. This is on Thursday. I went on Open Table. I mean, could I find a reservation for the time we wanted? Yeah, not where we wanted to go. Most places were packed.
Yeah.
I went on Friday. I'm looking for cancellations. Nothing. I'm like, all right, so we'll go to, I'm not going to say the place, but a nice place that you can usually get in if you wait until about 7 o'clock. We showed up at 10 to 7. They told us an hour. I'm looking around. There's not a seat to be had. We went to another location they have where there's tons of tables usually because it's such a big place. Valet only. There were no cars. There were no spots in the parking lot available. So we ended up at a chain restaurant because we could get in.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere.
Yes.
People are spending. I don't know where they're getting it from. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's crazy.
Then my how I would fix a satellite radio, Jerry. I saw Anthony of Opie and Anthony. He is he's had his own sort of show on
770, I believe.
Well, he's on 770 on Sunday nights, but he's had what he calls Compound Media for over a decade.
What
now.
Is that?
It's his own subscription service.
Oh.
Thing, but he's got clips on online, and he was reading an article that just came out about SiriusXM, and that in the first quarter of this year that they have lost, it was almost 500,000 subscribers.
Wow, big number.
Big number. So he's reading in there, and it was kind of interesting to listen to, and, you know, them too, like, they have a very specific thing. They have satellites in the sky,
mm-hmm.
Satellites in space that shoot down the programming to you. Yet they seem to also have a focus on podcasts as opposed to what their business is.
Well, they spend hundreds of millions of dollars on that Call Her Daddy one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't understand.
I don't understand that either. And was talking about that they're looking to sell more advertising. This is on, I guess, the talk channels. Right?
Okay.
So I had this thought. And then also, many years ago, I remember looking at the SiriusXM stock, and it wasn't great.
Right.
And I could never figure that out, right? SiriusXM is in everybody's car.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets a subscription with your car, and then it's up to you whether
Correct.
You keep it up or not.
Correct.
And I remember reaching out to Guy Adami over at CNBC, mm-hmm. friend of ours, Jerry.
Yep.
And I just said to him, I go, Guy, I go, I read that they've got 45 million subscribers. Every car you buy, their satellite radio. I said, why would their stock not be? He said, because the stock price generally is based on the future. And when you can get internet, at the time is what he said, when you can get internet radio in your car, what are they? You know,
that's
true. Then who are they?
Yeah.
And I guess that's where we are now with Spotify and Apple Music and podcasts and all that sort of thing. So I thought about this. How many cars in the country have the satellite radio that don't have the service?
Okay.
What if you turned all of them on
mm-hmm.
and sold advertising like regular radio?
Made it free.
You make it free. But all of the stations have commercials. I know now you've taken away the uniqueness of...
Yeah, you're going to piss off the people that... It'd be nice to have it for free, I suppose. But the beauty of it is... like, so I have it. And I have it specifically for a lot of the lengthy driving I do. Where I don't... Sometimes I don't like connecting my phone. I just don't.
It is an extra step.
It is. And it's also, you don't like the song. It takes your attention away from the driving for a moment. You not a big deal. But again, these are not the worst issues, but they are.
But it's no different than like how we talk about, like, you would watch Seinfeld if you saw it on TV.
Correct.
But you're not getting up to put the DVD in.
That is true. But I guess now you're nothing more than just radio.
Right, which is what you were trying to be, something different, right?
Yeah. I get your point, though. I mean, maybe you offer it for $2 a month with ads, kind of like to have that Hulu.
Yeah.
Like a Hulu ad-free with ads. Maybe you start adding a Sirius with ads for much less. Maybe you get a lot more subscribers, and you're charging for ads.
Yeah. I don't know, because like they'll offer me $5 a month, and I still don't take it. It's just the idea of paying for something that I don't really need.
I know.
You know?
Here's the one. Remember I said I thought it was the Ringer that they bought last
year?
Yeah. SiriusXM acquired exclusive rights to the popular podcast Smartless, hosted by Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes, in an agreement worth over $100 million. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that one. I tried listening to that. I love Jason Bateman.
You know, me too, but there's only so many podcasts you can listen to.
No, I put it on. They're on Zoom, all of them. I am out. When I hear a Zoom thing, I'm gone. I'm a
That's what a lot of it's become.
Yeah,
a lot of it's become. It's just, it's bizarre. And there's more than that. There's another one. You know what's funny? That's not the one I'm thinking of. There's another one that I can't. He's an entertainer. Conan O'Brien. Didn't they just buy Conan O'Brien's podcast? Didn't they sell it?
I'm not sure, but that would seem about right.
I think he sold it. I'm almost certain. See, Conan O'Brien.
I don't understand the amount of money that they buy these podcasts for. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they acquired Conan O'Brien's podcast network and digital media business called Team Coco for $150 million. And did what with it?
Right. How are you getting that money back? Selling what?
$150 million. And they're worried about jerking us around for $5 a month.
Right.
You need a lot of suckers for $5 a month to make up $150 million.
Yeah, it's so strange.
I don't get business. Al, I don't get business for not the life of me.
Not only that, like, so Joe Rogan, we know he's, I don't know, was he making $120 a year, whatever it is? So as a podcast I listen to on a regular basis, they go to commercial, I hit forward, forward, forward. Commercial's over.
Yep. Until they block that, you're going to skip right through it.
And when they do block it, then I'm out, probably out, right? Or I'll listen on YouTube or watch it on YouTube with my no ad YouTube.
I will continue to say what I've been saying for 10 years. Sit there and read the goddamn commercial and don't break away from programming.
Yeah.
Why are we not doing this?
I don't know.
It doesn't. Can you get me a meeting with Chris Olivero, please?
Here's what I think happens is that the ad agencies are used to doing things the way they've always done
them. Well, we need to have forward thinking. And Maybe the ad agencies aren't the way to go anymore. Maybe we need to find other people and companies that want to advertise with a personal touch.
Yeah, I would love to talk to somebody and say, okay, you purchased this podcast for $100 million. What is the business plan to get this money back?
I have no idea.
How does that work?
Don't know. Great question.
Yeah.
The one thing I always say, go back to school. I would love to go back to school to learn a trade. I've always said that to you, whether it's concrete or plumbing or electrical, just to have one skill like that. I got to be able to do more than change a flat tire.
You are good at that.
And change oil. I mean, all those are great, but that doesn't help. I would also love to go take a few classes to understand the business of the internet, like the digital advertising. I don't understand any of it. Digital advertising, podcast rollouts, how you get paid, how YouTubers get paid. As much as I read about it, I kind of get it, but not really.
Yeah, me too. I'm confused as well.
I'd love to take a class, and maybe it's multiple. And I don't mean a YouTube class where I'm sitting there staring at a screen. I mean like someone teaching it to me where I can ask questions because I don't understand what the hell they're saying. That's the one thing about, you know, I know people always say that you've got the university of the world at your fingertips. That's true. But it's not as interactive as I'd like it to be, and it's hard to kind of grasp some of it.
Like, let's say, Jerry, I had a business, and I sell dildos, right? That's reasonable. And I go, you know who probably has a large dildo audience? Joe Rogan. I would like to advertise on there. What are they going to tell me that costs? And do they tell me after the podcast airs and they see how many downloads it got? Because a lot of times in the...
So they're charging you for dildo sales then?
No, like... I've always seen in the podcast world, like they charge cost per thousand. So you would charge me if you're the salesperson and I'm the dildo owner. I would say, I would like to purchase. And you would say, okay, well, this is going to cost you $50 per thousand.
Okay.
So then.
But per thousand what? Dildos?
No, confused. Per thousand listeners.
Okay.
So if I want to advertise my dildos, you're going to tell me, I'm going to say, what's it cost? You're going to say, well, it's going to cost you $50 per thousand downloads.
Right.
So then if Joe Rogan, you tell me Joe Rogan had 9 million downloads, you're now charging me like...
Whatever that is
an
times...
An insane amount of money for dildos, my dildo company advertisement.
How many are you selling?
Yeah, I don't know.
See, that's the fight I have when advertising for some of the things I've done. Like, where is the point of no return? Or where are you? So if I'm trying to sell, like my goal this year, I'm not going to lie, my goal, I was really hoping to sell 1,000 calendars because I really was trying to maximize what I could give Boomer. And I was trying to do better than last year. As it turned out, I did the same as last year. And I think I made the same donation as last year, which was only, was 500 calendars, which was fine. But if I spent whatever, $50 per thousand, am I really selling more? Like, right. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. You're right. There is a point. There's a saturation point where if you spend more, you're not going to get that back.
And theoretically, you would think with the digital advertising, you can say, I want an audience of men, ages 18 to 60, and it would be targeted advertising. But I don't know that that works. I'll tell you what I know works. When TV ran a promo for the calendar 2 years ago, the emails and the orders lit up like a Christmas tree immediately. When they talk about it for more than just a quick mention, the emails come in fast and furious. I do that digital stuff on Instagram. I have no idea if it's working or
the
not.
The social media advertising,
no,
yeah.
No clue. So, but you mentioned dildos. It's a good little segue. Did you? I don't know if this is new or not. I really don't. And it's April 1st, so I take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
I also don't know if the video that I saw is real.
Okay.
But I will say that I saw it from a couple of different Twitter posts. So this wasn't just one thing retweeted. Several different companies or people, whatever it is, like Crazy Clips posted it. Then there was another one that was Police Clips posted it. And it was a woman in a bathing suit that got arrested for having an orgasm while sitting in the water using her little bullet. And at first, she looks embarrassed. She does admit to using a small vibrator, and she admits to having an orgasm. And then when she realizes the police weren't fooling around, that she's probably going to get arrested because a family called the cops. That's how they knew about it, because there were kids with them. She goes from, come on, you can't be serious, to just mortified. Can you? It's one thing to get arrested, and it's another thing to get arrested for that. Can you imagine, A, the embarrassment, B, the phone call you got to make to your family somehow to let them know why you're in jail, and then C, when the video comes out.
That's the worst one.
And then D, after they put her in the police car, like, they're just joking. Like, talking about what she, I mean, you want to talk about mortified.
Mm.
Again, it's April 1st, but it looked real.
Yeah, I could see someone doing that. And it does seem like if a family noticed you were doing it, then you weren't very good at hiding it. Yeah, you weren't too discreet. And definitely if a guy was doing that.
Well, no, a guy wasn't. Oh, you know what a guy did do, though? And I had the audio, but while I was going to play, guess what this audio is? So the Brewers, they're getting killed. The terrible start to the season. Their pitching sucks. Numerous people posted this. A guy goes right into the rotunda. You can see the Milwaukee Brewers. Did you see this?
I did.
And the guy drops his drawers and urinates right there on the floor.
Yeah, it was nice.
What is happening?
That man was very hammered, I would imagine.
And she got arrested. I hope he did, too.
Yeah, oh, he definitely.
Holy
God. I am sure he got arrested. You can't urinate
right
at
there
a ballpark.
At the ballpark.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That's not good.
All right.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up program. We'll be back here tomorrow on a Wednesday. So...